You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Thursday to you. Today on the podcast, we are going to recap the biggest nuggets that came from day two of mandatory OTAs that took place on Wednesday. So I want to get into some of those nuggets in the first segment. In segment two, there's been some really good questions that I've received that are appertinent to the things we've learned so far at OTA, so I want to address them. And then in segment three, I want to talk about the new protocols that the NFL announced for vaccinated players and unvaccinated players and some of the news about Highmark Stadium, and visit some of Sean McDermott's comments that he said this week when it comes to vaccinated players. And then I actually want to share another head coach's comments that I thought were pretty interesting as well. So that is what is on tap for you today. Let's start with some unfortunate news, and that being the absence of defensive end Brian Cox Jr. from Wednesday's practice. He left yesterday's practice early on a cart, and anytime the cart comes out for an NFL player, it isn't good. And you would just hate to see a player at this point of the season suffer an injury that's probably going to cost him the entire season. Now, we don't know that for sure. We haven't received an update on Cox Jr. as of the recording of this podcast, but it doesn't sound promising. And I know we weren't expecting Brian Cox Jr. to make this football team or, you know, obviously make any type of impact, but to prepare and get to this point in the process and then your season's over before it starts, you hate that. You absolutely hate that. So let's hope it's not as serious as it sounds and that Brian Cox Jr. is able to get back in time for camp and compete. But like I said, anytime the cart comes out for an NFL player, it's usually not good. Now, what is good is the news that we heard on Wednesday regarding the Buffalo Bills defense. After practice wrapped up, I saw three tweets hit my Twitter timeline, and they were very close in succession to when they came out. I want to read them to you because when you have this much of a consensus opinion, I think it's pretty telling. The first one came from Sal Capaccio of WGR 550. He said, Bills minicamp has ended for today. The defense really shined and clearly won the afternoon, especially when the starting units were against each other. Several big pass breakups and other plays made. Then we heard from John Scott, and John Scott said, overall, Bills defense continues to have an upper hand over offense during OTAs and minicamp. Forcing turnovers has been a theme, and not always because of a poor throw by quarterbacks. And then Marcel Louis Jacques chimed in and said, one thing I keep seeing within the Bills' offseason practices, their defense seems to bring a lot more energy to the field during team drills. Not a knock against the offense, but one side of the ball noticeably shows more emotion. I'm elated to hear this. After the way the Bills' defense performed last year, particularly at the beginning of the season, and the disappointment that came with it because of how good the unit was in 2018 and 2019, this is music to my ears. And honestly, within the scope of football at every level, at this point in the process and preparing for a season, defenses should be ahead of offenses at this point. It was concerning last year when that wasn't the case. And we heard reports from beat reporters at practices saying, this Bills offense looks really good. This Bills offense looks outstanding. And you're like, okay, that's awesome, but that means the defense isn't playing well. And then that carried over into the regular season where the Bills offense was lighting it up and the defense was dreadful. Let's be honest. The defense was really bad to start the season last year. So I am really encouraged to hear so much positive feedback and commentary about the Bills defense. And when you go back to Marcel Louis Jacques' comments about the emotion and how it's showing noticeably more emotion from the defensive players, If you recall from our conversations last year about the defensive struggles, I often brought up that the unit wasn't playing with an edge like we saw in the past. The energy, the confidence, the dog mentality was missing. They were reeling. They weren't playing well, and that was because they weren't playing fast and they weren't playing free. And I think they had to learn how to play through those struggles because that was uncommon. And that defense had performed well game after game, you know, year after year under McDermott. And then for it to go through a rough patch, you have to learn how to play through that. You have to learn how to come out of that. And I think the team is better for having gone through what they did last year. But there's no doubt in my mind that playing with energy and emotion was missing early from last year's defense. So I am really happy to hear these reports coming out of minicamp today. Last thing I want to mention on the defense is a couple of the comments made by Matt Milano during his media session. He confirmed that the defense is way ahead of the game right now and was very complimentary of the energy and said that it wasn't common for there to be this much energy right now defensively. But he said the players that are returning and the new guys that they brought in are balling out. And so I think there's just a lot of confidence right now, which is a great thing. And then he also commented on Star Lotulelei being back and how clogging up the middle helps everyone on defense. So look, all the good news about the defense from minicamp on Wednesday, and I am here for all of it because I don't want to see this unit struggle at the beginning of the year like they did and put so much on that offense. I think, like I said, I think defensively they're going to be better for having gone through what they did. I think offensively having to carry the team that was new, and I'm glad that they were able to do that, and I think that helped the offense sustain its level of play throughout the course of the season because they knew they had to produce. But I'm certainly hoping for a more balanced football team next year, and these reports about the defense are encouraging that we could get that. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your instant karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has already given away over $3 million in instant karma to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. The next thing I want to get into today on the podcast are a couple of questions that were submitted that I think are really good and very timely based on some of the storylines that came from OTAs. So the first one comes from Adam. And Adam says, can you break down how the defensive line looking lighter and potentially quicker would affect our defense? My fear is that the run game would be even more exposed. And I think this is a good question because Mario Addison looks like he's trimmed down. I saw some of the pictures and video of him. I mean, seriously, that guy looks like he dropped some weight. Star Lotulelei is a touch lighter, about 5 pounds less than where he typically is at this point. Then you look at what already exists on the roster. I mean, Harrison Phillips, he's in the 305 range, which as a one tech is really not that big. Justin Zimmer barely flirts with 300 pounds. We know Ed Oliver has always been undersized. Jerry Hughes has never been a very big defensive end. I mean, AJ Epenesa is in the 255 range. If you're looking for the size guy on this defensive line, you got to go to Vernon Butler, who is 330 pounds. And let's be honest, he doesn't make that big of an impact. So Adam brings up a good point here in that the Bills don't have a very big defensive line. And they've lost size, right? Like the guys that they had, Addison and Latulale, Epinesa, these guys have dropped weight. And so let's get into that a little bit. And, you know, your question being, how does that affect the defense and your concern that the run game could be exposed? So I have five things written down in response to this. Number one, the Bills value length. Length is their most important trait for defensive linemen, especially at defensive end. Not quite as much for the interior, but at defensive end, it's length. That's what they care about. Number two, the fact is, this is a smaller defensive line in terms of weight. I don't have the numbers in terms of where it compares to the entire NFL, but I'm guessing that the Bills collectively have one of the smallest defensive lines in the NFL in terms of weight. Number three, the Bills value the ability to affect the quarterback more than they do occupying space. And it's not just affecting the quarterback because you have smaller, leaner, quicker defensive linemen. If you can defend the run being small. But stylistically, this isn't like Ted Washington, Pat Williams in the middle where they just hold up all the space and you can't run against it. It's a very different style of defense. They value the quickness and the penetration skills more than just being large and occupying space. Number four, I think a big emphasis for the Bills' defense is playing for negative plays, being able to shoot gaps, make tackles behind the line of scrimmage, put the offense behind the sticks, and take advantage of what you should do best, and that is rushing the passer. And putting teams behind the sticks and making stops at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage because you can shoot a gap, creates those opportunities. Number five, and I kind of alluded to this already, I don't think you have to be big to stop the run. You have to be able to maintain your run fit, not get reached, keep the second level clean, squeeze gaps. Being massive, being large isn't a prerequisite to doing that. If you play with good hand technique, you could play with extension, which when you have hand technique and length, that really helps. When you play with low pads and leverage and you can diagnose blocks, when you can do those things, you don't have to be big. And look, I know that's not what you were getting at with the question, but I do think that there's a potential for a growing belief to exist out there that because the Bills don't have a bunch of 320-plus pound defensive tackles, that they can't stop the run. You know, you don't have to be that big to stop the run. And so that's kind of the way I respond to your question, Adam. That's how I respond to this overall idea that the Bills lack size on the defensive line, but they do have quickness. And what does that mean to the overall picture of this defense? The next really good question that I want to get to here today is from Chris. Chris says, this take is a direct reaction to the Isaiah Hodgins segment from the Wednesday podcast. I think this is the year the Bills keep seven receivers. Diggs, Beasley, Sanders, Davis are locks. I think they really trust and value McKinsey and will keep Stevenson because they tend to keep their draft picks. Chris, I will stop right there. I agree with everything you just said. That's six. I think they have room for seven if they only keep three tight ends, with Lee Smith being traded before the draft and the selection of two tackles that could be used as eligible receivers in situations where we usually saw Lee Smith, they may have found some flexibility. Essentially, I see the competition for a roster spot between Hodgins, Kumerow, and Tommy Sweeney, with Hodgins having the inside track. Okay, I really love this overall thought and take. And there's one part of me that wants to continue with the messaging of the Bills always keep six wide receivers, so we need to plan accordingly. And then there's another part of me that taps into my own personal belief and obviously what Chris is saying here and something that I've said in the past, I think the Bills should keep seven wide receivers. I mean, it's a wide receiver-centric offense. You want to put 3-4 on the field on just about every play. We'll have depth, right? Like, don't be afraid to roster a few more. What's the sense in keeping four tight ends? They typically do. Why are they keeping four tight ends and six wide receivers? Go seven receivers and three tight ends. I think it's a great idea. And when you extend it to seven, I think it's quite clear that Isaiah Hodgins has a very good chance of making the roster. I do think we can agree that the top four, Beasley, Sanders, Diggs, Davis, McKenzie at five, Stevenson as a draft pick at six, I feel like those are the leaders in the clubhouse to claim six spots. Now, if you extend it to seven, that very well could be Isaiah Hodgins. That very well could be Jake Kumerow for the special teams. What if Brandon Powell winds up being the answer at kick returner / punt returner? That's an interesting layer to the conversation. So the Bills typically kept six receivers in the past, and one of those was Andre Roberts, who really wasn't a wide receiver. I mean, he was the kick returner, punt returner combo guy. And so when we say they kept six wide receivers, they kind of only kept five. So it's really interesting because I don't see the correct correlation between rostered wide receivers and how they play the wide receivers. So this is a really interesting idea. I hope it happens. I hope the Bills keep seven receivers and three tight ends. And I certainly hope they only keep two quarterbacks. I see no reason to roster three quarterbacks. And should that be the case, that's your path to not only Isaiah Hodgins making the roster, but keeping seven wide receivers, which I think they should. RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know that we sent you. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need over at RockAuto.com. Need to tell you guys about Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar on the planet. So many amazing flavors. They're all delicious. They're all covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. It's literally like eating a candy bar, but they're good for you. Built Bar is great for anyone who is health conscious. Whether you want to lose weight, maintain weight, or just indulge in a delicious treat, you got to try Built Bars. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and perfect for anyone who is on the keto diet. Got a deal for you? Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and it'll get you 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Let's close out today's podcast by touching on some of the big news recently regarding vaccines and how it relates to the NFL season. Let's start with some really good news. And a spokesperson from the Department of Health said on Wednesday that Highmark Stadium, which, in case that sounds weird to you, that's what we're calling the Bills Stadium now. So Highmark Stadium is considered an outdoor venue which can operate at full 100% capacity without restrictions. So folks, Highmark Stadium, the Ralph, New Era Field, whatever you call it, Rich Stadium, where the Bills play their home games, is going to be full. And that's exciting because I've said this before. Last year, for as exciting as it was, 13-3, scored 501 points, go to the AFC Championship game, two home playoff games. For that to basically be done in empty stadiums without Bills Mafia, that kind of sucked. And I know that a small amount of fans were able to go to the two playoff games, but It just wasn't the same. It wasn't the same. And I feel like Bills Mafia was robbed of being able to see that in person. And so I'm really excited to not only attend a game, you know, my wife and I, we are coming up for the Houston game in week 4. I can't wait to be there. But also watching games on TV and just knowing that the fan base is there and it's just better, right? Like, that was a missing part of football last year, and I am elated to see it back. And so credit to New Yorkers, because those restrictions were lifted because 70% of adult New Yorkers have been vaccinated. So awesome. Now, there is some news that came out regarding the players and what this season is going to look like for fully vaccinated players and not fully vaccinated players. Now, before I dig into the differences, this is what Coach McDermott said on Tuesday regarding the vaccine and the players and how things are progressing. He said, "I feel better. I feel like we're moving in the right direction. I would like to see our team move in the direction of being fully vaccinated. We continue to move and increase the number of people that are getting vaccinated. Certainly respect everyone's position. That being said, we're trying to do our best to educate, build awareness, and at the end of the day, the players have to make their own decision." Now, the next day, the NFL announced the protocol for vaccinated individuals and not fully vaccinated individuals. And so I hate reading things to you on the podcast, but I think we kind of have to so that you can appreciate how different the season is going to look for players that are fully vaccinated and not fully vaccinated. So fully vaccinated players do not have daily testing. It's every 14 days. Not fully vaccinated players are tested every single day. It's required. Fully vaccinated players do not have to wear a mask at club facilities or during travel. Not fully vaccinated, masks are required at the facility and during travel. Fully vaccinated players, there is no physical distancing required in the club facility with other vaccinated individuals. Not fully vaccinated, must remain physically distant from others in the club facility. Fully vaccinated, no quarantine required after high-risk exposure to COVID. Not fully vaccinated, must quarantine after high-risk exposure to COVID. Fully vaccinated, no travel restrictions. Not fully vaccinated, travel restrictions in effect. Fully vaccinated, no capacity limits in the weight room when all players are fully vaccinated. Not fully vaccinated, only 15 players can be in the weight room. Fully vaccinated, may eat in the cafeteria with other fully vaccinated individuals. Not fully vaccinated, players must be physically distanced in meal room, may not eat with teammates, staff must grab and go, no meals in the cafeteria. Fully vaccinated, may use the sauna and steam room. Not fully vaccinated, cannot use the sauna or steam room. Fully vaccinated, may interact with vaccinated family and friends during team travel. Not fully vaccinated, may not leave the team hotel to eat in restaurants, may not interact with anyone outside of team traveling party during team travel. So, I mean, it is just a really different experience this year for the players that are fully vaccinated versus not fully vaccinated. And so I want to share with you a quote from Mike Zimmer, who is the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. And this is what he said. "We're just trying to educate these players. They have to make their own decisions. The unvaccinated players are going to have a harder time in the season. They're going to be wearing masks. They're going to have to social distance. They'll have daily testing. They won't be able to go home for the bye week. They'll have to come back here and test every day. When we go on the road, they won't be able to go to dinner with anybody. They'll have to travel on buses differently, travel on planes differently. A lot of the meetings will be virtual. Not only the safety part of getting vaccinated, but as far as being part of a football team, it's just going to be so much easier." So, look, I don't really enjoy discussing the vaccine and all that type of stuff with you on this podcast, but the reality is it's a major part of the dynamics of this season. And so I don't know where the Bills' percentages are. I don't think we're going to find that out. But for the teams that are getting their players fully vaccinated and don't have this massive discrepancy of fully vaccinated versus not fully vaccinated, it is just going to make for a much smoother season if they are fully vaccinated. And so wherever you stand on the vaccine, the reality is for the NFL and for the players and for the teams that are on board with the vaccine, it's going to be a different experience, and it's going to be one that if they do get everyone on board, is going to make for a much smoother ride and a much smoother opportunity to grow as a team and be around each other and do the normal things that happen in terms of being a football team and the camaraderie piece of it. So we'll see what happens here, but this is a big storyline and a big dynamic to the 2021 NFL season. So as it would turn out, Sean McDermott canceled day three of mandatory OTAs after he was tongue-in-cheek about players not being there and all that. He said, thanks for being here. You can go home early. We'll see you at training camp. Now, that's pretty common across the NFL. I see that a lot of teams, I would even say maybe even most teams, canceled the last day of OTAs. But I thought it was kind of interesting that given Sean McDermott's attitude towards attendance at OTAs, particularly the voluntary, and then some of his comments he made about mandatory OTAs and how good it was to have certain players there, some of those comments being tongue-in-cheek, kind of interesting that he canceled that last day. But that does mean that we're not going to cover OTAs tomorrow on the podcast. Instead, I want to go back to the series we started earlier in the week on Monday and Tuesday about the 10 most important players to the future of the Bills. I have some takeaways from the project that I want to share. I want to give you my own personal top 10 list, and then I want to talk to Jay Spence the King about his unique set of rankings and why he had Marquez Stevenson at 3 and why he had Devin Singletary and Cody Ford in his top 10 when nobody else did. And most importantly, why Josh Allen was not only not his number one player, but wasn't in his top 10 at all. So make sure you don't miss tomorrow's podcast so that you can hear from Jay and, of course, my takeaways from the project as well. So that'll do it for us today here on the podcast. As always, I kindly ask that you share, subscribe, rate, and review. Have an awesome day, and I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.